Let us pray, and we'll look very briefly at the passage in Romans 13. Thank you, our Father, for goodness and truth that we know only in Jesus Christ. In His most holy name we pray. Amen. I'm an impatient person. But I don't think I'm the only impatient person. Do any of you know anyone that's impatient? Do you know anyone who's patient? I would suggest you know people that are patient in one way, but we're all impatient in other areas. In some areas, I'm very patient. Like, I know that it's 10 till the hour, and I'm very patient. However long this sermon takes to unfold, I'm extremely patient. But I know some of you will be less patient than I. So we're all just muddling around in this thing called impatience. We're all impatient. We want what we want when we want it. We like things to be timely. We don't like waiting on that which should have already been. It starts from the beginning. Eve didn't want to go through the process of learning, so she impatiently ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Cain didn't want to correct his own offering, so he just killed the competition. Sarah didn't want to wait any longer that she would be given the child of promise, so she offered Hagar to Abraham. David didn't want to wait like he did with Abigail on Bathsheba, so he just took her. I mean, we have a long DNA history of impatience. Advent is about waiting. About waiting. If we think of life, we often go from extremity to extremity. Don't you see the pendulum very rarely strikes the balance? We go one extreme or the other. We see it all the time. And when I think when it comes to patience or impatience, we do the same thing. We either run to the extremity of immediate gratification, fueling this prosperity thinking that I want it and I want it right now. Or we swing to the other pole, the other extremity of nihilism, where we basically say, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. Brothers and sisters, may the message of the gospel this Christmas and Advent season remind us that life is lived in the balance. Neither demanding that it happen today, nor denying that it'll ever happen. It's a middle way. And Paul speaks of that, if you'll look with me in Romans 13. In three very short verses, he tells us how to have patience, how to live with this, these two extremities. Besides this, verse 11, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. The first thing that we need to do in waiting is we need to wake up from our slumber. Do you know that sleeping people can't hope? You ever thought about that? We're talking about hope. Sleeping people can't hope. And if you're too overwhelmed with hope, you can't go to sleep. Think back to Christmases in your past. Parents usually have no problem going to sleep on Christmas Eve, do we? It may be 2 or 3 in the morning, but we usually get to sleep. But can you think back so far as a child where you had a hard time going to sleep? Hopeful people don't want to go to sleep. And what Paul is saying is, wake up. Don't slumber. Live with anticipation. The sadness of seeing people that are fully awake, but they're asleep. Do you ever look in people's eyes, and while they're awake, it's almost like they're sleepwalking? There's no eagerness. There's no anticipation. It's hard to maintain that. Solomon says in Proverbs that hope deferred makes the heart sick. After a while, it's hard to maintain hope. After a while, we do slumber. After a while of saying maybe next year in Jerusalem, we sort of say it, but we slumber through it. And we have to be reminded by the word to wake up, to invigorate. We're like little children peeking over the edge on tippy toe. But after a while, if that which you're looking for doesn't come, your calves start to get cramped. It gets a little tiring after a while to keep looking and to keep hoping. I've walked painfully with young couples who want desperately to have a child. And they go and they go and they go. I've walked painfully through parents and grandparents that are hoping for adult children to come to their senses, and they hope, and after a while, we get tired. And Paul comes and he says again, and this Advent season is coming, and hopefully will reinvigorate us, will wake us up again, that just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't happen. Jesus hasn't come yet. That middle candle's not lit. The manger only has a couple animals. But brothers and sisters, wake up. Maybe today he'll come. But he goes on to say, not only do you wake up, but you've got to look up. Look in verse 12, or into verse 11. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. We look up. See, we trust what we've heard, not what we don't have. We trust what we've heard, not what we don't have. Knowledge is to analyze what's seen. A scientist has a lot of knowledge because he analyzes what's seen. We get knowledge from focusing upon what we can examine. But wisdom is to accept the truthfulness of that which we've not seen, but it's only been spoken. We hear Jesus is coming. We hear our redemption draws nigh, but we don't see it. I can tell you everything's going to get better. You ever had people tell you that things are going to get better? You ever get tired of people telling you things are going to get better? After a while, is it like, it's just like salt on a wound. But Paul would tell us again, we've got to keep trusting. Nearer now than at the first. The night is nearly over. The psalmist tells us that weeping endures for the night. But what comes in the morning? Joy. But guess what? You never know when the morning is coming. But Paul tells us in the middle of the night, keep looking, look up. When I drive with my children, they were always pretty good drivers. But like your children or grandchildren, they'd ask the same thing after a while on a long trip. What would they ask? Are we there yet? And I'd always have the same answer. It didn't do much for them, but I loved it. And the same answer was, we're closer now than we've ever been. Brothers and sisters, Paul would say, keep looking. You're closer now than you've ever been. And then the final thing he says, because we wake up and look up, therefore don't give up. Don't give up. Don't change anything. In verse 12, the end of it, it says, so then let us cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Don't quit. Verse 13, don't cheat. Verse 14, don't scheme. Sometimes we can get sort of where we're tired of hoping, so we're going to try to make it work ourselves. We're going to help God along. I love to play card games. I'm going to say something that's going to sound sort of cocky, but it's not cocky, it's just true. I love Rook. Does anybody like Rook? Okay, well, we'll play some Rook. I love Rook. Guess what? When I play Rook, I don't cheat. Why don't I cheat when I play Rook? Because I don't have to. I'm good. But there's some games that I'm not very good at. There's some things where I don't trust my own abilities. And maybe we can help God on. And maybe we can do something to make it a little easier. And what Paul would say in the midst of this, don't change a thing. Verse 14, just put on Jesus Christ and don't make any provision for any other plan B. You don't need a secondary plan. Just hope. Don't give up. Hold on. I don't know how dark the winter has been for you. But one who dealt with darkness, one who wrote in darkness, Albert Camus, one of his most known quotes and one of my favorite quotes is, in the depth of winter, I learned that within me was an invincible summer. Now, let me put it in a more Christian term. The same Paul that would tell you here to not give up, he's going to tell you the reason why you don't give up is that you have Christ in you. The hope of glory. So you hold on. You keep hoping that maybe today he'll come. I don't want to take a lot of time because I don't have it. But there's a picture that you've maybe noticed on an easel on the back. It'll be here all Advent. I encourage you sometime, either on a Sunday or any other time, to look at it. It was drawn in 1566 by a Flemish artist. It's called The Census in Bethlehem. It's backed by the lectern. And you'll notice that there's hustle and bustle and activity. But if you also notice in the midst of all that, you'll find Jesus Christ hidden in the Virgin Mary. I'm not going to tell you where it is. You'll find it. But it may take a while. But trust me, Christ is in that picture. Brothers and sisters, in the hustle bustle of your life, maybe it's sometimes tough to see where Jesus Christ is present. But Paul would tell us as we began this Advent, trust me, he's there. Keep hoping. Maybe today. Amen. Things look bleak on that Maundy Thursday many years ago when Jesus Christ knew what was coming. When the disciples feared that something was amiss, that their hopes were going to be dashed, that everything they had put their stock in was going to fall. They had left off to follow this one who promised life, and now in the midst of their confusion, he says, I'm going away. They said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Like Peter would say several years before that, where would we go, Lord, even if we left? For you alone have the words of life and truth. And then several years later, he spoke those words of life and truth when he took bread, and having given thanks, he blessed it and he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you gather together in hope and in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took cup, and having given thanks, he blessed it and he distributed it and said, this is my blood which is shed for you, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission and forgiveness of all your sins. Drink ye all of it. For whenever you eat this body or drink this blood, you participate in the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, our gracious Father, for a promise that stands true. May we wake up and look up and hoping in you, never, ever, ever give up. For we know that you endured the scorn of the cross in full hope and confidence that in the midst of the pain that you endured, you believed your Father's word. And you prayed in the midst of that, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that promise of the Father raised the Son as first fruits of us, now hoping in whatever situation we're in and in the depths of our own sin, that nevertheless, not our will, but thine be done, our hope is secure in Christ, who offers us himself. Amen.